Welcome to the Cheapskate Show. This podcast is all about saving you money and helping you make smart purchases. In this episode, we're going to talk about our favorite affordable Father's Day gifts, tell you how to improve your TV viewing experience on the cheap, and lots more. I'm Rick Broida, CNET Senior Commerce Editor, but better known as the Cheapskate. And I'm joined, as always, by my sidekick, my deal buddy, my Ron Weasley. It's fellow deal guru, Dave Johnson. Hi, Dave.
For the record, I kind of think of myself more as a Neville Longbottom and you as a Dobby the house elf.
As long as I'm not Hagrid, I think I'm okay with that.
Deal.
So, Dave, before we jump into today's great stuff, I wanted to quickly loop back on a couple of things we talked about last week, starting with password managers. You know, we talked all about LastPass being this great free password manager, but a bunch of people reached out to let me know that I had forgotten another product, another password manager that is every bit as good as LastPass, and some said that it was even better, and that is called Bitwarden. And so just go to search for Bitwarden and you'll find it. It's another password manager that it's actually free for personal use. It's an open source product, and it just does all the things that you need it to do, including password synchronization. It is totally free. So if you haven't picked a password manager yet, make sure you also add Bitwarden to your list of candidates.
And speaking of looping back and being bad at your job, there's something really important about phone loop that we didn't talk about last week.
Right. So I like what you did there with the looping. Yeah. So phone loop is my favorite phone accessory. It's the strap that you put on your phone. So as it happens, not days after we recorded that episode, I took my case off of my phone for probably the first time in 2 years because I needed to test out another phone gripper thingy. And when I took my case off, the case broke. And I was like, okay, fine. I need to order a replacement. It was just an old cheap case anyway. So I've been without my phone loop for a couple of days. And not 2 days after I did that, I dropped my phone for the first time ever.
Did it break?
It did not break, thank goodness. It did get a little scuffed on one corner, but I just couldn't believe how the universe was telling me, well, you take the phone loop off, this is what's going to happen.
Well, it's more than that. The phone, like, which iPhone do you have?
I have an iPhone 10.
Okay, so it has the glass on the front and the back. That's a very different texture than almost any case. So the fact that you have any case on your phone is going to make it grippier. So that's why I always have a case on my phone, because if I don't, that thing is going to slip out of my hands. I just know it will.
Oh, yeah, it's so unbelievably slippery. The other thing I didn't mention about phone loops is that it still allows you to wirelessly charge your phone, which the vast majority of other phone gripper doodads do not allow. So because the phone loop is so thin, it still lets you wirelessly charge. So I am re-upping my recommendation for phone loop as the best phone gripper thingy, best thing you can get for your phone.
Now that we have that out of the way, I am dying to move on to our tip of the week. I'm so excited about what we're talking about today.
Dave, what's the big problem that people have when they bring home their new TV and set it up?
The sound is terrible.
Yeah, unfortunately, the nature of modern TVs is that they're so thin, there's barely any room inside of there for decent speakers. I mean, they have them, but either they're pointing down at the ground, which is not where your ears are. Some of them even point the speakers to the rear, which is insane.
They're little 10-watt or 15-watt speakers. That's not good enough to have a whole family sit around the TV and watch.
Yeah, and you're robbing yourself. You are really shortchanging your TV viewing experience if you're relying on these weak little speakers. So, Dave, what's the fix for this problem?
Kind of the elaborate fix, the Dave fix, if you will.
The money is no object fix.
Yeah, the money is no object fix is you bring in a home AV receiver or separate components. You set up a center channel speaker and left and right speakers in the front, plus surround speakers in the back and the sides. You can have like 8 or 9 speakers now and a subwoofer. But the key is you have different speakers for different channels. So all the dialogue comes out of the center channel and all of the surrounding audio comes out of the left and right front speakers. But that's expensive. And it's clumsy because you've got cables everywhere and there's all these different pieces, parts. Rick, what do you do instead?
What I do, actually, what I have done in the past, and you were going to laugh at me, you can improve your TV audio with just about any speakers that you might have lying around. And in that, I will include, if you have old computer speakers, you know, remember when computers used to have these speakers that you would plug in?
Oh, you're making my head hurt. Are you seriously suggesting hooking up like really lame desktop computer speakers to your home stereo?
I'm just saying that if you want to test the waters a little bit and see how big a difference it can make to just plug in even the cheapest pair of speakers, that's where I would start. If you've got them in a box somewhere, just plug them in to the headphone jack on the TV and see how much louder and clearer the audio is than what comes from the TV's built-in speakers. Now, again, that's a super cheap way to go. What I really recommend for most people is to get yourself a sound bar, which is basically just what it sounds like. It's a long, short speaker that sits in front of your TV or just below it and fills in those gaps for you. It gives you, at the very least, two channels. Some of them are actually five-channel sound bars. Some of them also come with a subwoofer to really give you more bass. That will change your TV viewing life. You have to agree with me that a soundbar is, for most folks, probably the way to go.
Absolutely. I've been following home theater, home audio stuff for decades. When I was a teenager, I used to get magazines and I would yearn for the day where I could buy a $300,000 sound system and I could drive in my Lamborghini to go pick it up and bring it home. But that, I never imagined that this soundbar technology would happen. And it's really revolutionized home theaters because it's so much easier and cheaper now. Just like you said, that soundbar is going to replicate the front left and right and the center channel. Sometimes it even has virtual surround sound built in. One package gives you all of that. It's usually pretty affordable. It's so easy to set up. I can't recommend soundbars enough.
Now the obvious question is, how much should you expect to pay for a soundbar? How much do you really need to pay in order to get a good one?
$10,000.
Well, you know, we've had this debate with each other since I think we've known each other, which is, you know, whether, you know, you have to spend a small fortune to get like the best speakers known to man and that you turn them up and it literally blows the roof off of your house, or if you can get by with something that's just decent. And I think most people by now can probably guess where we each come down on that.
I think that I have toned down my opinion a little bit over the years. I no longer feel like I have to spend my entire income. You know, like when you get married, they say you're supposed to get an engagement ring that's, what, 6 months of your salary?
Oh, God, I thought it was 2 months.
No, I think it's six. I think that's what the diamond conglomeration now recommends.
Well, sure, they would love that.
I used to be very much like that. Well, if you're not spending 2 years of your salary on a speaker, you're underspending. But now I recognize that that is not the right approach anymore.
As I recall, the last pair of theater speakers you bought were so large you had to move out.
Yes, exactly. They didn't fit in my apartment.
All right. So a couple of quick recommendations, or at least acknowledgements of what is out there. So at the low end, and if you go on Amazon and you search for soundbar, you're going to find a zillion choices. And even before I jump into the options here, I'll pause to note that if you go to CNET.com and search for soundbars, you will find our rankings for the best soundbars that you can get. And these are across all price points. So I'm not an audio expert. There's folks at CNET who are audio experts, and they test all of these and have come up with some great recommendations. So I would definitely start your search there. But just perusing Amazon to see what's out there right now, TCL, for example, TCL makes TVs, but they also make a soundbar called the Alto 7, and it's currently on sale at $80. And it has a built-in subwoofer, it's a nice-looking soundbar, and it will absolutely, for most people, just make a huge improvement over your TV's built-in speakers. If you want to go a little further up the high end, you could look at something like the Sonos Beam, which is, I guess, quote, a smart soundbar in that it has Amazon Alexa built in. And, of course, it's Sonos, so it's going to do all the other great Sonos things. You can, you know, set up a whole home network of Sonos speakers and all that good stuff. It's about $400, and there's a zillion choices in between.
If I could make one other recommendation, the Sonos Beam, I highly endorse that one as well, because I have a Sonos system, Sonos in almost every room. Having a Sonos soundbar is super convenient, and it's not super expensive. But if you're really into Roku and you don't have a Roku yet, there is a Roku smart soundbar that gives you the Roku capabilities in a soundbar that connects to your TV as well. It's a 2-for-1, and it's only $150 right now, so that's a great deal as well.
That's a great deal as well. And so I'm going to throw out one more recommendation. This is a product that actually just came on my radar fairly recently. Dave, you and I are men of a certain age, are we not?
I'm not going to say what that age is.
So I have learned recently that as we get up to these ages, that our hearing, it's harder for us to hear TV dialogue. And I won't get into the, you probably know the science behind why that is, but
yeah,
I have
old.
Noticed, yeah, we're losing our hearing. That's why. So there's a company called Zevox that makes a couple of different sound bars that have this AccuVoice technology built in, which basically means that it isolates the center channel or the dialogue channel so that you can hear what's being said more clearly. And I've just been testing one of these out recently, and it works extremely well. So if you're 50 or older and you have found yourself kind of struggling to hear the TV, not just hear everything, but just to hear the dialogue, I cannot recommend one of these highly enough. And in fact, if you go to the Zevox website right now, there's a model called the AV203 that they are selling refurbished, which I think has the exact same warranty as new. So it's literally good as new for like $130. It's a bit of a smaller model, so it's kind of better suited for like a bedroom TV or a den, not for like maybe your giant living room TV. But I cannot say enough good things about the Zevox AccuVoice technology. So check that out if you're in that age demographic.
I'm waiting for the next version of that particular soundbar where you're watching a show, and if you miss something, you say, "What'd he say?" And then the soundbar in a very loud voice says, "He said the money's in the suitcase," and then it continues with the movie.
Actually, I want it to automatically replay the last 10 seconds. You know, you just yell at the TV, "I didn't catch that," and it automatically rewinds so you can play it again. So, Dave, that's all I want to say about soundbars. But before we leave the subject of TVs, I just want to ask your opinion on a quick TV etiquette question. If you go to someone's house, friend, relative, maybe you're invited over to dinner someplace, and you notice that their TV has the dreaded soap opera effect, do you fix it? And is that okay?
So are you saying that you're going to wrestle the remote out of your cousin's hand and against their will turn motion smoothing off?
Well, there's two ways to go about this, okay? You can say, "Oh my God, your TV has the soap opera effect. What is wrong with you, you psychopath, that you can sit and look at this and not want to claw your eyes out?" That's one option.
Yeah.
Or you can wait until they go into the other room, grab the remote, and secretly do it, and then like see if they even notice, for one thing.
When they come back in, they're going to say, "Oh, my TV looks better." And they're not going to think about why. So, yeah, that's the one you do. You wait till their back is turned, and you do it when they're not watching.
I just feel that it's too hard to explain what it is and why it's bad. I just think
you don't want my PowerPoint deck that I have on how it upscales from 24 frames per second to 30 frames per second and interpolates in such a way that all the scenes seem plastic and soap opera-ish?
I feel like it's a public service that this is something that needs to happen. If you have the knowledge and skills to do this, when they go to the other room to get dessert or whatever, you just quickly hop into the settings and turn off motion smoothing. And even if they don't notice, you will know in your soul, Dave, that you have made the world a little better.
It's either donating to charity or fixing your cousin's motion smoothing.
All right, everybody. So we would like to hear from you on this subject. Is this something you've ever done before? Is this something that you think is important? Sound off on this. Shoot us an email at cheapskateshow@cbsinteractive.com. Let us know what you think. Is it okay to secretly or even not secretly turn off the motion smoothing on someone else's TV?
Hey, Rick, next week is Father's Day.
Oh, guess what? I'm a father. That means it's my day.
Congratulations. What are you hoping to do for Father's Day?
Well, I guess something like going to a restaurant is out of the question.
Or leave the house.
Yeah. Last couple of years, I've been telling my family that I really, more than any goods that I might want to have, I like experiences. I like getting out and going and seeing things that I've not seen before and doing things I've not done before.
This is going to be a tough year for you.
Yeah, it's going to be a really challenging year to pull that off. What about you?
I'm hoping that just the normal happens, which is my daughter or my son sends me a text that says, "Happy Father's Day. We still kind of like you."
Well, you gotta take what you can get. So,
yeah.
In all seriousness, you know, everybody wants to give dad a great gift, right? And also, lots of people are unemployed right now. And it's, you know, as much as, you know, hey, buy dad the $400 soundbar if you can. But we, of course, were eyeing cheaper options. We wanted to find some affordable gifts for Father's Day. And we actually compiled a pretty comprehensive list of gifts under $30, which you can find at CNET.com. In fact, there's about 9 of them on the list right now. And I know I've got my contributions to this list, and you've got a couple contributions to this list as well. So what do you think is probably your top pick as to something you can get for dad, for a dad, that's under $30?
Oh my God. There's really only one choice here. I think my favorite item on this list is Colonel Popper.
You might have to spell that for everybody, because right, you say Colonel Popper and I hear Colonel Popper.
You know, you want to know what the funny thing is this thing is spelled like a military colonel, C-O-L-O-N-E-L, Colonel Popper. And I love products that are named like people for some reason. And until you pointed out that it's a pun, I didn't realize that it was referring to popcorn kernels.
You never caught that?
I just thought it was named like, you know, it's Dr. Popcorn, MD. You know, that's kind of what I thought it was.
Major beverage holder.
But Colonel Popper is so awesome. It's this silicone bowl that you just drop in some oil. You put in like a quarter cup of popcorn or however many popcorn kernels you want. You are totally in control. And then you put it in the microwave for a couple of minutes and it makes really, really good homemade popcorn. You do have to spend, I'm not sure exactly what it costs, $15, $20, whatever. But once you buy Colonel Popper, it pays for itself in short order because you're not buying microwave popcorn packets anymore. You're just getting the bulk popcorn kernels. And if popcorn kernels don't pop, you can repop them in the next batch. And after it comes out of the microwave, it's a self-serving bowl.
It does all the things.
It does. And I love the name so much.
And what's also kind of cool about it is that the bowl itself is collapsible. So for storage, it actually kind of folds down fairly flat.
That's
so
right.
You don't have another big bowl that you have to make room for. So yeah, we have one of these as well. And I was really kind of surprised at how well it works because, you know, we've tried the air popper. We've been through tons of microwave popcorn, and you're right, it gets crazy expensive. And we've even done the trick where you take some popcorn kernels and just put them in a paper lunch bag and throw those into the microwave, and the results are always fairly mixed. But man, this thing, you end up with just such delicious popcorn, and you throw some salt on there, and yeah, that's a winner for dad for sure.
So do you have a Father's Day gift you want to talk about?
Right, so the one I'm going to recommend is for the coffee-loving dad, and it's a subscription service called Atlas Coffee Club. And true to its name, it delivers beans from all over the world. So on any given month, dad might be getting coffee from Brazil or Costa Rica or Vietnam or some exotic location like that. And, you know, there's a little bit of a message in here. The company tries to ensure ethically sustainable farming practices, and they pay above market price for these batches of micro coffee lots. So what's really great, though, is that right now, through the deal that we're offering via the Cheapskate blog, is that you can order dad's first bag for free, not including shipping. I think shipping is $8, I want to say, with any subscription that you sign up for. And you can cancel the subscription anytime. So all you have to do is apply promo code FIRSTFREEFATHERSDAY all together. And first is one ST. It's not spelled out first. It's first free Father's Day when you get to checkout. So at the very minimum, you can get Dad a practically free bag of international coffee. And the reason I'm so hot on this thing is that I've been a subscriber to Atlas Coffee Club for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 months. And these coffees are great. We are just really enjoying them. And especially as someone who has been a Keurig user for a long time and has just kind of never found any pods that were awesome. A lot of them are okay. This coffee is so, so good. So if your dad likes coffee, Atlas Coffee Club is my pick.
And if you're planning on getting me a Father's Day gift, which would be extremely weird, do not get me that because I hate coffee. But I've got one more. Can I do one more?
One more. Let's hear it.
This is one of my favorite things on earth. It's the Rocketbook. And you may remember Rocketbook. I think it was a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo project at one time. And the original concept of the Rocketbook was it's a reusable book that you write in it and then you microwave it and erases it when you microwave it. They've changed their methodology a little bit now. You can still get that version of the Rocketbook, but for $16, you can get the Rocketbook Mini, I believe it's called. And it is a book that it's fully reusable if you use their friction pen. So you write in it, and then all you do is you take like a microfiber cloth, dampen it, and you can erase the book an infinite number of times. You write in it over and over and over again. I use this all the time. I always have a Rocketbook on my desk. I take notes in it. I keep to-dos in it. If I'm on the phone with somebody, I jot down notes. It's indispensable. And for anybody's dad who does a lot of writing like that, Rocketbook's going to appeal to his sense of economy. And it's also just super handy.
Well, and I think you're missing the big, but wait, there's more because
the Ooh, what is book, the more? What, oh, you're talking about the app aspect of it.
Exactly. So you might ask yourself, well, if I've taken notes and then I wipe them away, they're gone forever, right?
No, they're not, Rick.
Well, how can that be, Dave?
Because you can take a picture of it using the app. There's a Rocketbook app, and depending upon how you mark these little icons at the bottom of the page, it'll automatically do things to the notes that you just snapshotted. So it can send it to OneNote or Dropbox or wherever, whatever cloud service you want to send it to. You can store it locally. You can store it in the cloud. You can have it converted to digital text or leave it as a sketch. All these options, and it's just as easy as taking a picture of it with your app.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I think the Mini is available for as little as $16, and then there is like a 6x8 version of the notebook that is priced around $30, and there are frequently discounts on that available as well. So you have a couple of options to get one for Dad for under $30. And if you want to find other picks, again, head on over to CNET.com and check out the roundup of the best cheap Father's Day gifts for under $30. All right, Dave, so let's move on to listener questions. Brad Lloyd wants to know laser versus inkjet. That's not really a question, but we get what you're going for
well,
there,
Brad. Well, did he put a question mark at the end? Because that would make it a question.
No, it literally says laser versus inkjet. It's a statement.
Okay, so I'm guessing that he's curious if we put a laser and an inkjet in a boxing ring, which one would prevail? The answer is it's a trick question because they can't fight.
Oh, that's a battle bots that we never got to see. I would love to see laser versus inkjet.
We could still do that. You can take two Roombas and just duct tape printers to the backs of them and just let them go at each other.
I feel like if they ever remake Office Space, that's got to be a segment. You know, instead of them taking the printer out to the field and bashing it with a baseball bat, they have to motorize two of them and let them duke it out.
No, this is a good question, though, because there's a lot of ways to interpret this. Is are we going for which is cheaper, which is better quality, which is a better purchase overall? There's a lot of ways to unpack it.
Dave, this being the Cheapskate Show, I'm going to approach this from the angle of what kind of printer gives you the most bang for the buck? Like, what's going to be the cheapest to buy? What's going to be the cheapest to operate over the long haul? What does your gut tell you on this question?
The answer depends upon whether you're looking in the short term or the long term, because inkjets are going to be easier to buy up front. Now, you can get a good inkjet printer for under $100. It's going to come with ink that's going to last you a couple of months, but those consumables are going to really add up over time. So it's the laser that wins if you look at over, say, several years.
I agree with you. I think the exception to that is whether you're talking about monochrome or color. Because if you just need them, if you can get by with just a monochrome printer, then yeah, the laser option can be very, very affordable. In fact, you can get a laser printer for under $100 and sometimes as low as, you know, $50, $60. I've seen them on sale. And the toner for those printers can be very inexpensive as well, especially if you look at some of the third-party options or you look at even refilling your own toner cartridges. So in terms of like cost of operation, laser is going to win over the long haul, I think, versus inkjet. But if you're talking about you must have color, the price of the color laser printer alone is going to be much higher. It's probably going to be $200, $300, even $400 just to get the printer. And then I don't know if you've ever priced color toner cartridges, but they are expensive.
There's another nuance I want to throw out here. Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And if you're looking at the long haul, you're right. Those economies work. But often, maybe I'm just unlucky, but I have found most printers don't last that long. I can't figure out what the total cost of ownership of a, let's say, an inkjet printer is if I have it for 5 years, because my inkjet printers fail catastrophically after a year or two. So there's no point in spending a lot of money on a printer that I'm expecting to last for 5 or 6 years, because they just won't.
So Dave, let's face it, we actually don't do a ton of printing nowadays as a society, but if you have an inkjet printer that sits unused for a long period of time, and I'm saying like 6 weeks, 8 weeks, a couple months, what typically happens is that the ink cartridges dry out and the print heads can get clogged, and no amount of like cleaning or whatever the process is will allow the printer to recover from that. At which point you think, oh, I'm just going to throw this thing out and buy another $60 printer anyway. I think that's the failure point for a lot of inkjets. And it's one reason why I really generally don't like inkjet printers. I find lasers to be a lot more reliable.
So are you working with a laser printer at home right now?
As fate would have it, I actually own a multifunction laser printer that I got a couple of years ago, and that thing is still chugging along. And then I have a very cheap Canon inkjet printer that I use for certain kinds of jobs that is also still chugging along, and I buy the cheapest third-party ink I can find for that thing, and it always works just fine. I have not had any issues to speak of. So, Brad, ultimately, the answer to your question is going to be the answer to a lot of this versus that question. It depends on what your needs are. Do you need to print in color? Do you have a high volume of printing that you need to do? For most people that just want to print black and white, a laser printer is going to be the way to go. If you also need to be able to copy and scan and maybe even fax, you're going to want to look at a multifunction, which is going to make it a little pricier and make a bigger device to take up space on your desk. There's so many variables, but I hope at the very least now you have kind of some inkling, Dave, inkling.
Oh, nicely done.
As to what we think your major options are.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We will be back next week with more deals and more money-saving advice. In the meantime, you can find daily deals by visiting cnet.com/cheapskate and following us on Twitter at cheapskateblog or Facebook at cheapskaterick. If you have a question you'd like us to tackle or a great deal you want to recommend, send an email to cheapskateshow@cbsinteractive.com.
So until next time, stay healthy, stay home, and stay cheap.